seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Isaiah chapter 45 and the second verse. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. This chapter begins by the Lord speaking to Cyrus. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. The Lord wonderfully raised up Cyrus to be a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus to deliver the Lord's dear people from much of the bondage they were in. Of course, it was Darius that was to finally deliver them from all the bondage of Babylon. But what a mercy it is. We have such a glorious Redeemer in the Lord Jesus, who is a far mighty deliverer than what Cyrus was. And here we find in our text what the Lord promised to do for his dear people under the hand of Cyrus. He says, I will go before thee. Now, this is the great exercise of everyone that is truly born of God, that the Lord would go before them in all things. Now, let's bring it right home to us each here. The Lord knows in your heart and he knows in mine whether this is truly the exercise of our heart, that he would go before us. And then, secondly, do you feel, and do I, the Lord is the witness, that we truly need him to go before us? And when we think of the Lord going before his dear people, may we not just think of it in a natural way, in the things of providence, though that is in the great concern, but may it be concerning each of our souls, because the Lord has a great need to go before us in our never dying souls. We're reminded with our beloved friend losing so much strength that how soon our lives can cease here. And do we not need the Lord to go before us regarding the great matters of eternity? He goes before his dear people in calling them by grace. What a mercy it was. The Lord went before Saul of Tarsus, and the Lord had ordained the very place where he should call him by divine grace. And so he does with each one of his dear children. And he goes before, decrees the very place where he shall show triumphant grace. And he goes before his dear people to lead them to God. You know, you or I would never approach the Lord in reality or in truth without the Lord going before us, leading us to the throne of grace, leading us to pray for mercy. You see, when the Lord goes before his dear people, they follow. He leads them. The hymn writer said, didn't he, "Led me on with placid peace to Jesus as my hiding place." This word has been very sweet to me for the last few days. I will go before thee. And I trust it's the Lord's message that I bring this before you this morning. I will go before thee. It's what the Lord said he would do. And there may be those of you here this morning that need the Lord in some particular way to go before you. But then he goes before his dear people to teach them wisdom. And as he goes before, he makes them feel their complete foolishness, their ignorance, their inability to do anything aright in and of themselves. But he goes before them to teach them this, to make them dependent upon him, to make them lean hard upon him. But what is particularly with me, we need the Lord to go before us and to prepare us for the blessing. You see, when the Lord is to favour his dear people, he goes before them and he prepares them. It may be through very deep things, it may be through very dark places. He goes before and brings them into these things to prepare their heart for the divine blessing of heaven. When was it, and I hadn't thought of this, it drops in so I will name it. When was it the Lord really blessed dear Jacob? Was it not when he was faced with the great army of Esau against him? He wasn't a place that was palatable for the dear man's flesh, was it? But it was the place the Lord had appointed and going before him to bring him into, to know the blessings of heaven. And what did he pray when in the depths of that trouble? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. He longed for the blessing, didn't he? I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And what did the Lord do? He blessed him there. But he had to come into that place which the Lord had gone before him. The Lord knew why he brought that great army of Esau against him. It was all for the good and the establishing of dear old Jacob, and for him to be prepared to receive that blessing. And when is it the Lord really blesses his children? Often when they're in the depths. But he goes before them. And he knows just how they feel in those depths. It's been a great comfort to me over the years, thinking of the dear Lord Jesus, the dark places he came into, the bitter temptations he endured, the sorrows, the anguish. And as he goes before his dear people to die, he knows exactly how they feel. You may feel this morning, well, nobody understands you. You may feel, well, you're in places that the Lord's dear people don't seem to come into. But poor soul, the Saviour knows in every case exactly how his dear people feel, because he's gone before them. He's tasted it, partaken of it for them. What does the poet say? Touch with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean, for he has felt the same. And he goes before his dear people to lead them in the way he would have them go. Not in the way they think they should go, but the way he is appointed and is going before them in it to lead them in that way he would have them go. And what does the poet say? The way I take cannot be wrong if Jesus be but there. But it's been with me since this text came to look at a few occasions in the sacred word of God where the Lord wonderfully went before his dear people. And I just want to briefly name a few as help this morning. First of all, you go back into the book of Genesis and how the Lord went before Jacob and the brethren in that time of famine in sending Joseph down into Egypt. And we read, don't we, that beautiful word, how he went before them down there to preserve life and to preserve them a posterity in the earth. And they could look back and see how the Lord had gone before them in it, couldn't they? You see, it wasn't by chance dear Joseph was down in Egypt. Oh no. They meant it for evil. They had sent him down there. They wanted to destroy him. But look how wonderfully the Lord went before, and there, down in Egypt, all the storehouses were full of corn and provender to supply their every need. The Lord had gone before them. He knew what they got to come into. He knew there would be those years of famine. But he sent Joseph before them down into Egypt, who was governor of all Egypt. And it was he that was to provide for them, wasn't it? I will go before thee. This is what the Lord has said he would do. And may it be so with you and with me in the unknown steps of life journey, that we might prove this word. You see, when the Lord gives such a promise as this, like he did concerning dear old Jacob and those brethren of Joseph, the Lord went before. And he brought them down to fall at Joseph's feet. Something they vowed they would never do. But he went before them. And he knew how to bring them there. And how he supplied their every need, didn't he? Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. The Lord went before them. But then you may have wondered why we read together those beautiful verses at the close of the 13th chapter of Exodus. As soon as this text came, those words dropped in very sweetly to confirm it, really. The Lord had gone before and leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you know, we need him to go before us and lead us out of everything that would cause us distress and bondage and that is grieving to the Lord. And what did the Lord do as he went before them? He put that fiery, cloudy pillar before them. And we read this. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And you see, that pillar of the cloud was there going before them, and as the cloud moved, so had they got to move. You know, many of the old preachers used to say in my early days, beloved friends, you watch the cloud. Keep the cloud in view. That's what they had to do, you see. And as the cloud moved, so could they. But you see, they hadn't got to move until the cloud moved. The Lord going before them. But look how wonderfully the Lord used that cloud for their good. And we read in chapter 14 this beautiful word. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it was between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Oh, how wonderfully the Lord went before, and he caused that pillar of the cloud to stand between Israel and the Egyptians. It was there by God. You see, the Lord went before them. And what was it to the Egyptians? It was darkness. But it was light to Israel. And that's how it'll be to your poor heart. There'll be times when you give you faith to view, like to view, the wonders God alone can do. And it'll be darkness to the enemies. And it was to Pharaoh and his host. It was darkness to them, but not to Israel. It was light. The difference is with the child of God and with the ungodly is the Lord gives them faith to view the wonders God alone can do. Faith to view the cloud. The eye of faith. And you can see then the light shining, you see, the Lord's appearing. And then it's darkness to the enemies, isn't it? Oh, it is. Why? Because they got no faith. What does the apostle say? Without faith it is impossible to please God. And I will go before thee. And you look how the Lord went before them and how he divided the sea before the children of Israel. He went before. Oh, may we see the Lord work like that. There are many things you may have, like the children of Israel had. It may be in providence, it may be in your soul, it may be in your circumstances, it may be in the family, and they got this great sea before them. How could they ever pass through it? But the Lord was to go before, wasn't he? And what did he do? He went before them and he divided the sea. And he can do that today. All events are at his command. He can divide that sea that may be before you, the sea of the future, the unknown way. And you need the Lord to go before you, see. His purposes will ripen fast. Unfold in every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. And it was with those dear children of Israel, wasn't it? He went before them, dividing the sea. And you think how he brought them safely through it. Oh, he did. He went before. It was in his hand, you see. We often forget this, don't we? If you look in that case that we read together, the children of Israel, the children of Israel, each one of them, were in the Lord's hand. He was going before them. The sea that they got to go through was in his hand. He controlled every wave. You go to Eastbourne and look at the sea, the tide going in and coming out and going out. And you see him controlling it. And every wave is controlled by the Lord. There's not a wave of trouble that arose upon your poor heart, poor soul, that's not in his hand. It's all controlled by him. He goes before, and he went before them and divided that sea. And he went before them to bring them through it. And he went before them in destroying Pharaoh and his house. He caused the sea to return. And he took off their chariot wheels, so they drove them heavily. Him going before, you see. I will go before thee. Let's just pause a moment. Look at it personally. I, the God of heaven speaking, then will. Look at the certainty of it. You know, these promises have a wonderful certainty in them. And here we see it. I will, the Lord says, go before thee. Not somebody else, but before thee personally. Do you feel to need it? But then, oh, how he went before them, you see, and completely delivered them from all that great sea and all the enemies. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will go before thee. But then another case I just briefly mentioned that seemed to rest upon me was that of dear Joshua. You think of the dear man, a young man. God had told him that he should lead the children of Israel at the death of Moses. He said to Moses, "You can view the land, but you cannot enter into it." Because Moses, you see, was sent by God to represent the law. But Joshua was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus, and to take the children of Israel into the promised land. But when Moses was taken from this earth, it was a great loss to dear Joshua. However should he lead such a people that had been so rebellious, so stiff-necked, prone to turn to other gods, forgetting the God of heaven? How should he lead such a people into the promised land? But the Lord, you know, through Moses spoke a beautiful word just before Moses was taken up into heaven. He speaks to Joshua, and it wasn't Moses' word, it was God's word to Joshua. And it was this, and may the Holy Spirit speak it into your heart and mine. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. Oh, you think how it must have been music to the ears of dear Joshua. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And you see, Joshua needed that word then, didn't he? It's a wonderful thing, you know, when we're in great need of a word from heaven and the Lord speaks it. He needed it then. And it may be there are those here this morning that need this word. I want to look at that in a moment. But you think of it concerning dear Joshua. And the Lord went before Joshua, didn't he? All the steps of that journey, right into the promised land, to take the children of Israel through. And you read that first chapter of the book of Joshua, it's a beautiful chapter, you know, to me. I've said before about it, but, you know, what did the Lord say? As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. This is what the Lord said to the dear man. Moses, my servant, is dead. He was. But Joshua had to arise, didn't he? And the Lord went before him. As I was with Moses, and Joshua could look back, you know, and he could see how the Lord had been with him and how the Lord had gone before Moses. So will I be with thee. And may the Lord sweetly whisper that to you and me. But then I said we would look at this further because, you know, when you're in real need in your soul and your pathway, and you need the Lord to go before you when you go up to the house of God. Oh, you do. When you're in real need and you go up to the house, you say, Lord, do go before me as I go up. And how many times in great need have the Lord's dear children gone up to the house of God, and they've been in such need and they've seen him go before. It may be in the hymns that are given out. They come right where the sinner is. Or it may be the Lord goes before and he sends his servants with the text such as this morning. And he goes before, and you can see as soon as the text is announced how the Lord is going before you, because it comes just where you are. Or it may be during the discourse. We think of your late beloved pastor. How many times the Lord went before so many of his dear people in going up to the house of God, and the Lord gave him that message to deliver to them. It was God's message. The Lord had gone before, you see. And the Lord needs to go before his servants to give them the text, you see. When I look back over the years in the ministry, I think of some of the places the Lord led me into during the week to give me the text to take to his dear people. I may have told you this before, but my late great uncle, Joseph Field, that was pastor at Weston and then at Sedgley, on one occasion he had these words spoken to him as he walked out the vestry door to go into the pulpit, and they were these: Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And as he went to come up in the pulpit, the Lord spoke those words to him. And he felt in such bondage trying to preach from them that Lord's day. And yet he got nothing else. The Lord had given it to him. And he came out the pulpit at the close of the services that day in the midst of bondage. The darkness he had to walk through. Satan hath desired to have thee. He said the words just rang in his soul, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And for 9 months he walked through that. And after 9 months he went back to that same chapel. He had another engagement there. And as he walked out the same vestry door into the pulpit, the Lord spoke it to him again. And he said, Lord, however can I preach from it? Thou knowest what I've walked through for 9 months in this. But you know, he got nothing else, and he ventured with it. And as soon as he read the text, his soul was set at liberty. And he preached from it to them again. And there were 3 souls in that congregation that were set at liberty. And the dear man so often said, you know, I had to walk through that to preach it to them through 9 months of labour. Satan desiring to have me and sift me as wheat. The Lord had gone before, you see. The Lord knew how those hearers were going to come up that day, and they needed deliverance. But oh, what the dear man had to walk through. You know, nobody, and only those that ever walk in the ministry, know what the servants of God really have to walk through. It's not just coming here or any other place and for them to preach. It's what they've had to walk through. The Lord going before, you see. Bringing them right where the people are. This is my great concern. That I may not just preach, but come where the hearers are. What, where they're really in. Because then it will do them good. I will go before thee. Now this is what the Lord has said, you see. I will go before thee. But then, and I must be brief, we think too of those beautiful words going to the New Testament of two things concerning the dear Saviour. How he went before and promised to go before his dear people. The first we would name is that precious word that was spoken by the angel on the resurrection morn. And it was spoken who to? Those dear women that had come up, you see, so loved the Lord Jesus, they were to anoint his precious body with the precious ointments and spices they had prepared. Such was their love to their Saviour. And as they arrive at the sepulchre, the angel of God was there. Christ had risen. And what do we read the angel said to them? Look how the Lord had gone before. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And this is the word. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And this beautiful word, and behold. Pause, consider it. He goeth before you into Galilee. This is the message that the angel speaks to those dear women to go and tell the disciples. He goeth before you into Galilee. And then this sacred word. There shall ye see him. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. Oh, you think how the Lord Jesus rose triumphant from the tomb on that glorious resurrection morn and had gone before them into Galilee. And there they was to see him. What does our text say? I will go before thee. And you look how the dear Saviour went before. And let us pause a moment. May the Lord sweetly assure your soul and mine this morning that he's gone before and he's put away all your sin. He suffered more than incarnate God could bear, the hymn writer said. Oh, you think of the great agonies. He went before them, suffering in their room, place and stead. Oh, the great agonies of the Saviour. May the Lord give us faith to believe that it was for us. He's gone before, purchased his dear people with his own heart's blood, gone before them to fill them with divine love, divine mercy, divine favour. Gone before them, and those dear disciples were to see him there in Galilee. There shall you see me. It may be the Lord is going before you and he's going to bring you into places. Why? That there you may see him. You know, you're about to bless the Lord for the deepest trial, the deepest affliction, the deepest distress, if there you shall see him. But then the second word that we would just briefly name from the New Testament is this: what Christ said to those sorrowing disciples. In those precious words in the commencing of John 14. And oh, we think of our beloved friend in the hospital, and may the Lord sweetly whisper that to him. And what did he say to them? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to our beloved friend. I go to prepare a place, and may he whisper it to each of our souls, to prepare a place for you. You see, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. No others will enter there, you know, only those that are prepared. And may it be the great concern of each of our souls to be prepared. And only the Lord can prepare us. I trust it's my prayer every day. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. Thy Spirit must the work perform, for it is all of grace. And in Christ's obedience clothe, and wash us in his blood. So shall we then lift up our head with joy among the sons of God. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, how he goes before his dear people. Well, I've hinted at a few things in this sacred word. May the Holy Spirit whisper this to each of our souls. And poor soul, if the Lord speaks it to you and applies it to your poor heart and mind today, you'll prove him faithful of promised. I will go before you, before the, and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now this is what the Lord said he would do as he goes before you. Amen.